HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hello, and welcome to Speaking to Spirits, the show which helps you get and stay connected to loved ones in spirit. My name is Hollister Rand, and I'm glad for this opportunity to share meaningful expert interviews and simple ways that you, too, can live in relationship with the spirits and people you love. The topic of today's show is the Third Circle Protocol, how to relate to yourself and others in a healthy, vibrant, evolving way. Can every relationship in our lives be improved? What steps can we take now which will lead to more loving and fulfilling relationships with ourselves, parents, children, spouses, bosses, and everyone with whom we come in contact? To help explain the Third Circle Protocol, today's guest, Georgina Cannon, will share her experience and expertise, and will talk about her latest book, The Third Circle Protocol, and I will also twist her arm to talk about her previous book as well. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Georgina, if for those of you who do not know her yet. Prior to a 20-plus career in coaching and counseling, Georgina Cannon spent 23 years in journalism and leading corporate communications agencies, traveling worldwide, assisting clients in designing communication strategies. So this is a lady who learned her stuff in the trenches, so to speak. In 1997, she left the corporate world to study various psychotherapy models, including Gestalt, NLP, psychodrama, hypnotherapy, and regression therapy. In 1998, she opened the Ontario Hypnosis Center, which grew to become Canada's largest hypnosis clinic and school. In 2016, she sold this business, which I bet was a relief, Georgina, so that you could concentrate maybe more one-on-one, you know, with things instead of running something, right? She currently specializes in enabling clinic clients to achieve major life challenges, manage relationship issues for singles and couples, as well as to heal personal and emotional issues. Now, the Third Circle Protocol book, I got to tell you, is really more of a workbook than it is a, you know, kind of a, well, a casual Sunday afternoon read. So the Third Circle Protocol makes all relationships effective and pleasurable. And the book gives you the missing portion for successful relationships that you were never taught. You know, so we sit around wondering, why is it that my relationships are so difficult? Why do I have the same kinds of relationships over and over and over, which might be fraught with disappointment or even betrayal? Well, don't get down on yourself, people. There are things that you haven't been taught. You can only learn from the teachers that you have. But fortunately, we have a very wonderful teacher with us today, Georgina Cannon. Georgina, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I must say, I love that introduction. Thank you so much.
I wanted to, first of all, I mean, you look at your CV and you have 1,001 letters after your name. So you are somebody who has, I can't even say all of that, because what it shows, though, is you are someone who knows her stuff. You're not, and you're really willing to join together a lot of experience and knowledge, which then has grown into this thing called the Third Circle Protocol. So it's like a lot of background, which has now been distilled into this process. So for our listeners, would you mind sort of giving them, you know, the Cliff Notes version? Cliff Notes is kind of the short version of what the Third Circle Protocol is.
Sure. It's the unspoken contract that we have with every relationship we encounter. So whether it be the cashier at the supermarket, or a beloved partner, or an irascible neighbor, or an in-law, or an employee, or an employer, or our teenage kids, we have unspoken contracts with everybody. And most of the time, we live with snapshots of that person. time that we knew them at the beginning and we take a snapshot of it and we expect them to stay the same. We expect that we stay the same and we expect the relationships to stay the same. And it doesn't. So it grows and we have no idea how it's growing. We have no control over our reaction to it because it's a contract and we're living according to that contract that we supposed. We never talked about it. We never thought about it. You know, we give more time and attention, I believe, to choosing a flavor of ice cream than we do choosing our relationships or managing our relationships. And it really is about that. It's about understanding who we are. So the first thing is to have a relationship contract with ourselves, knowing who we are and what we stand for. And that way we can have cleaner and clearer and more loving and accepting relationships with everybody else once we know who we are.
You know, I really love this for a lot of reasons. You know, when people see me, it is often because of relationships with loved ones who have passed.
Right.
And there are often stories that people tell themselves about those relationships, often not being true. And where I have seen this is with parents who were separated from their children for numbers of reasons, and the children will tell themselves, I wasn't loved, or this or that. Well, I have spoken with more than one father who didn't even know he had a child. It was kept from him. So, you know, we run around creating all of these stories, I was unloved. But what I really like about the Third Circle Protocol is the relationship is seen as a separate entity from the people in it. And I love that. And, you know, I had a three clients come together. They were sisters. I did not know that they were sisters, but I knew that they were related in some way. Mm-hmm. When they sat down, I spoke with a woman, and it was the same woman, but she looked different to me. Each time she spoke to one of the people, one of the women there, she spoke differently to each of them, and I thought, is this really the same person? And how could this be so different? And finally I said, you know, she's letting me know she is mother to each of you. But I have to tell you, the relationships you have with her are so completely different. I wasn't even sure I was speaking with the same woman. And they discussed on the way to the appointment how different their mother was with each one of them. And it was as though they had three separate mothers. So that, you know, I look at this Third Circle Protocol, that relationship being independent and the contracts of each person in that relationship creating that relationship. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. If I explained how it came about, it might be easier to understand. First of all, it was a client who came into the clinic, a young man. He just inherited his father's business. And with the business came a bookkeeper who'd been there since day one. And she'd known him since he was 4 years old. So although he was now the boss, she would treat him like he was 4 years old. In other words, when he had a staff meeting or wanted to put something, a new efficiency into the business, she'd pat him on the shoulder in front of staff and say, you know what, don't worry about it, we're fine the way we are, dear. And he'd lose his temper. He'd get angry. And when he got angry, she was very upset, and so was he, because he didn't like to upset her. And the following day, she bought him cookies to say sorry. And when he was telling me, he banged the table, and he said, I don't want her cookies. I don't want her cookies. And I realized what was going on. And I said to him, you're behaving like a four-year-old right now. And I realized what was going on. So she had seen him and taken a snapshot of him as four. And he had still seen her as she was when he was four. So they had to create a new understanding of each other's roles and each other of who they were today. And when I got home, I realized what that was. And that's how the whole thing began. Because in the past, we've always expected our employee to be taken care of by the employer, or the wife to be taken care of by the husband. And then we got a little more enlightened and we said, no, it's a shared experience. You know, we both have a part in this game. And then I realized that's not it at all. There's you, there's me, and there's the relationship, that third entity, where we both feed into it or we take from it. And the ideal of a healthy, vibrant, juicy relationship is that we put into it. So what do we put into it? We put in our values, our priorities, what we absolutely need, bottom line needs. So that could be respect, to be heard, kindness, laughter, whatever you need. And what do you want? What's the good stuff? What's the fun stuff that you want? Not need, but want. And what are you prepared to give? All of that, the two people put into the contract. And from that, it's distilled down to something they can both live with. And it's a guiding light. It's their North Star for their contract, if you can put it that way. So everything they do, everything they say, either feeds or detracts from that third entity, that relationship circle. And it changes the dynamic because they know that if they're badly behaved, if someone sulks, an adult sulks, as you know, sometimes, if someone sulks or throws a hissy fit or just always lets the other person down, they're not doing it to the person, they're doing it to the relationship. So it gives
and
them...
that feeling of not then taking it personally,
right,
is really so important. And that's what I found valuable about this. You know, people, I don't know if you follow Hollywood celebrities at all, but when Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin were divorcing, she said, "We are consciously uncoupling." And people
right.
laughed about that. And I thought, wow,
no.
I like that. Because, first
yeah.
of all, we don't even consciously couple. You know
right.
what I'm saying? We're sort of like we stumble into relationships or
yeah.
we're born into them, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the first things the spirits always make clear is that we are not victims. We are not
yeah.
victims of birth. We're not victims of choice. But we
right.
have set up a pattern under which we live. And we're born into an opportunity to shift that, change
yes.
that, or enact it again and
yes.
again and again.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's really interesting right now with the coronavirus is we are all stuck with each other in a way that we haven't been in great intimacy, you know, in our bubble. So whole families are at home with children not in school. You know, so there's almost no diversion anymore. So, you know, your book is kind of a crash course in not only how we could survive that, but how we could come, you know, come out on the other side even better.
So you know, it's interesting to say that.
Go ahead.
Because companies are using it now because they're so dispersed on Zoom, they're having to build new relationships. They're having to see each other differently. So they're using that whole employee-employer section on how to build a new relationship because it's different. They don't bump into each other at the water cooler anymore.
Right. Everything has to be well organized. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of events on Zoom right now. And I said to Spirit, I started doing these Zoom events a couple of years ago at least because I was feeling Spirit wanted me to prepare. I didn't
right.
know for what, but now I know. But my relationship with how they work with me is also different. You know,
yes.
how they move across the screen and bring me to different people. So this is a disruption in some ways, but it really is causing us all to be much more conscious about our relationships, about who we are, and the relationship with ourselves. Can you talk a little bit more about the place to start with all of this? Because we have a tendency to always look at the other.
Yeah,
You know, like,
no.
you're at fault, you know, you're just not the man I married, you've changed. But can you talk about the relationship with ourselves as a starting point?
Absolutely, that's the most important part, because unless we know who we are, how can anybody else know who we are? Unless we're comfortable in our skin, and we really feel the essence of who we are and what we stand for, our character, then how can anybody else know? This is what happens, why people come into the clinic and they say, you know, how come I always choose losers? I go from either one bad job to another or one relationship to another. It's because you don't know who you are. So the first thing you have to do is to find out what your values are. What do you stand for? What's important to you? And you can say things like kindness, respect, honesty, integrity, but do you live those values? Are you kind to yourself? Are you honest with yourself? So you, there's a worksheet in the book that takes you through this. Until you know who you are, who you really are, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. You have to know everything. Because when you really know who you are, nothing can blindside you. Nothing can knock you off your kilter. You're comfortable in your skin. And yes, we've all got a shadow side. Yes, sometimes we're not as kind as we should be, or as smart as we should be, or as good at listening as we should be. But we need to know that about ourselves. We need to know everything about ourselves. And then from our values, we move on to our priorities. What do we want to, how do we want to live in the next 6 months or 12 months? What's important to us? How are we going to spend our time? How are we going to use life in a way that's beneficial for us and human nature and humanity? What are we going to do that makes our life fulfilling? I tell my clients that I'm going to help them find their magnificence, but they have to do this work first. You know, I can't do it for them. They have to do this.
I really love that it is work, and that's why I, you know, because I'm a Capricorn, we love work. We like goals. We like, you know, that you do number one, and then you go on to number two. Yeah. But what I love about this book is it really is a workbook, and, you know, it's an assessment. And if we aren't going to do it now, during the midst of a pandemic, when everything is being called into question, where everything is shifting, work is changing. Families are changing. How we live is changing. Finances are a challenge for many. This is now the time to really know who you are and what you bring to the table. You know, I remember a father in spirit talking to his daughter who was complaining about how every man she'd ever been with had betrayed her trust. Mm-hmm. And her father very clearly said, Well, who are you trusting? Are you trusting yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, shifting the energy around to take a look at ourselves right now is extremely helpful. Because what this father showed his daughter is that she can handle situations when they show up. That when people disappoint her, it doesn't tank her life. And, you know, so really looking at things in a different way can be extremely powerful. Now, many people who listen to this radio show, this is not their first rodeo. They're kind of familiar with metaphysical things. They understand or at least have a workable acceptance of past lives and may also be wondering, what about past life relationships? What about our current patterns in relationships? Could we be just doing the same old thing with the same old group over and over again? And if so, who's going to be the first one to say, stop this craziness?
It does happen. And it does happen. It's karma. So I see karma, and I don't know your version or your perception of karma. I see karma as a hand of cards that we're dealt when we come into this lifetime, when we choose to come into this lifetime. How we play those cards is up to us. So if we've had a series of past lives where we were a victim or we were in the middle of bad relationships of any type at all, and we come into this world into a family of bad relationships that are emotionally distant or abusive or whatever, and then we find ourselves in supposedly loving relationships or work relationships that are abusive, if we don't recognize that and do something about it, the karma will continue. This hand of cards we're dealt is up to us how we play it. What we do with that hand of cards.
Well, it's interesting that you're bringing this up because I have a very, very dear friend who is a ray of sunshine. I mean, literally. Darkest day, this woman gets out of her car and smiles, and I'm telling you, the angels sing. That's
great.
The kind of person she is. However, her life did not start that way.
Right.
She grew up in a terrible, terrible situation. But she chose, instead of going a way of self-destruction and destruction of everyone and everything around her, she chose light. She chose healing. She chose a different contract. She literally said, oh, no, 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 I see what happens if I do that, and that's not what I want to do. And she consciously made a change, got a degree in psychology, and worked with helping to heal others until she retired. So it really is an opportunity to go, hey, these are the cards I'm dealt. Let me reshuffle these cards. So when we come back, Georgina, maybe we can talk a little bit more about how to shuffle the cards, what people can do with relationships right now, so that when they come to see me after people have passed, there will be much more joy and much less pain. So we'll come back in a minute or so.
Your source for timeless natural health talk, HRNradio.com.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for staying with us. This is Hollister Rand. This is Speaking to Spirits, and I am here with Georgina Cannon. We are discussing the third protocol, relationships, and how to feed relationships. And before the break, we were talking about a dear friend of mine who basically took the lemons in her life and made lemonade. And, you know, that's kind of an old saying. I don't know whether it was the 80s or the 90s. If life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But that is a real thing, taking the cards you're dealt in life, as Georgina was talking about, and just reshuffling them and laying out a whole different layout. So, Georgina, would you talk about your next book? Because who knew that I was setting you up with the perfect introduction for this?
Right. The next book, working title, and we may change it, is called From Victim to Hero. And what I've done is interview people from around the world, everywhere from Australia, Israel, India, the States, of course, Canada, Iceland, people who had a rough start when they were born, either into addictive families, or they were refugees, or they were starved, or they were abused. And when they were teens or late teens, a couple early 20s decided, this is not the life for me, I'm not putting up with this. And they left, and they made a choice and turned their own life around. And I included in the book is well-known names. There's an actor in Hollywood that you will recognize. There's a ballet dancer, a woman, a public speaker from Australia, Microsoft senior VP from Israel, two or three, or the Paralympian, a singer and a composer who writes songs for Taylor Swift, plus a cake maker, a financial advisor, all walks of life. And they said, not good enough. What choices can I make to improve my life? And all of them give back in some way to humanity once they've made it. And by made it, I don't necessarily mean really wealthy. I mean they've made it so they're happy, have a good life. Some of them are married, some not. But they've all become successful in life, separated out from the family they were born in. But the big thing here is that they chose their life. They chose not to be a victim. They chose to be a hero of their life. They did it themselves. And along the way, by the way, they talk about earth angels that also helped them along the way, some earth angels. And the reader is going to get some wise words from each one of these people, too.
Well, what I love about this is it is, you know, lots of different cultures, lots of different countries. So it isn't like one culture, one belief system, one country has the answer to this.
No, not at all.
You know, when I speak with people from all over the world, the one thing that the spirits share over and over and over again, it's a thematic refrain, I am not a victim. And this is even coming from people we would assume were victims, people who have been murdered, let's say. You know, and the spirits do not lay blame, you know, at people's feet. They don't solve crime. I work at the frequency of divine love, so the way I work is a little bit different. But each spirit takes personal responsibility for his or her life. And what I really like about this work, Georgina, and this book, is it allows us to live in the spirit way here.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of blaming or, you know, I got a tough start or things just haven't fallen my way or, you know, always looking for something outside of ourselves to bring us mm-hmm. unhappiness, we can also understand that we can find happiness as well. And being grateful is a huge part of that. And that's what I think I hear with the people that you've spoken with, that there's an understanding that the universe can work toward their welfare as well.
Totally. Once they start, it's interesting, all the way through, once they start taking charge, Earth angels start appearing. Somebody gives them a hand up in this way. Somebody enables them to get a scholarship in that way. Somebody helps them get into the police force in that way without any previous training. Once they take charge, once they own themselves, and recognize that they are in charge of who they are and what they can become, Earth angels show up in their lives. It's really fascinating. One after another, every country, every walk of life.
And it's so interesting that you say Earth angels, because the work that I do has demonstrated that for every action on the planet, there is a spirit component to it. I'm a medium. Mm-hmm. Of course I'm going to see that. But what I discovered is that the universe will always make us right. So if we believe that no one will help us, no one will help us. But as soon as we begin to change that version of how life is, the universe will also make us right. So as soon as we support our new version of ourselves or a new vision for our lives and the lives of the people with whom we come in contact, what's amazing is it will show up. And so that's how I know I'm connected with spirit, is by high levels of synchronicity. The things that make you go, what is the likelihood that's ever going to happen? You know,
right.
Like getting on the police force without, you
yeah.
know, meanwhile you're
yeah.
standing online getting a Starbucks and you're talking to the guy next to you, and the next thing you know, you have a job offer.
Exactly.
That is how, yeah, that is how the spirit component works to all of this, whether you even accept it, know about it, are paying attention to it, it doesn't matter. It's just in the fabric of how things work. So this is so empowering, and that's what I really love about your work, Georgina. It is about personal responsibility and empowerment of saying, you know, this is not what I want in my life. This is not the best thing for me. But it really can come down to, what do we think we deserve? So do you have an experience with a client, perhaps, where they had to change themselves or the version of themselves or what they thought they deserved? Victim to hero, I would think that, you know, is part of all of this. But in the next segment, when we come together, I'm hoping you'll be able to share a series of questions or a little exercise or maybe even a meditation, whatever you think may help people move from being victim to hero in their own lives or developing a healing, loving relationship with themselves. I'll leave it up to you because I trust your expertise. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hello, everyone. This is Hollister Rand. Again, this is Speaking to Spirits. Thank you so much for staying with us. I am here with Georgina Cannon, the author, writer, and public speaker and counselor coach who has written The Third Circle Protocol, other books as well. So we'll be talking more about how you can get in touch with her and see what it is she's doing. But I have asked Georgina if she would share with us something that you guys can take away from her work here today that will help you in your relationship with yourself and ultimately others. So, Georgina, take it away.
Okay. I think the most important part of all of this is to know, what do you absolutely need? Bottom line, deal breaker in every relationship you have. And that includes a relationship with yourself. What are the four or five things you absolutely need for a successful relationship? I don't necessarily mean lovers. I don't necessarily mean employers or employees or your family. I mean everybody, everything. So for me, it is to be heard, respect, understanding, and there are a few others. But know what it is that you absolutely need. As I say, deal breakers. Because when you know that, that sets the ground. That sets the boundaries, your boundaries. That sets who you are and with every relationship. Then what do you want? What's the fun stuff? Well, it's nice to have people in your life who love music, the same music you do. It's nice to have people in your life who love nature or whatever it is. But they're not the needs, they're the wants. And then ultimately, what are you prepared to give? And if anybody says to me in my clinic, I'll give everything, I won't accept that. Because that doesn't leave any room for anybody else. Be very careful what you decide you're going to give. So maybe you're going to give what you need. Maybe you're going to give respect. Maybe you're going to give listening, truly listening, so that the other person is heard. And again, I don't care if it's the cashier at the supermarket or if it's the person that delivers your cleaning. I don't care. It's the relationship. What are you prepared to give to every relationship? That will change your life. It'll change your life at work. It'll change your life with your family. It'll change your life at home. And it'll also change your life with the people in your life who are the, what I call the unloved ones, the ones that are difficult to get along with. Because if you live that, then they will feel the respect for you and you'll feel the respect for them. If respect is one of those things that you need in your relationship. How's that, Alistair?
Well, I would say it sums it up brilliantly. But I'm not ready to let go of the unloved ones yet.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because that is a lot of what I deal with in my work as a medium. I deal often with the fraught relationships. I deal with the relationships that have been broken by suicide, for instance. And, you know, where it seems like someone you love has, you know, cut you out to the point where they have the last word, even where life is concerned. Now, that's not the case, because being a medium, we can reconnect you with people who you loved, who may not have loved life or found it too difficult to stay here for one reason or another.
Right.
So one of the things about the unloved ones, or the ones who refuse to be loved by you, because that aren't those flip sides of the same coin. Those who are unloved, or maybe seem a bit unlovable, and those who don't love themselves, and that is the idea, but we gave everything to them. And you said, yes, there's no room. You know, there's no room for anything else. So can we talk a little bit, perhaps, about balance in relationships, about that give and take, and how if we do it all and we run the relationship, it really doesn't give anyone else the opportunity to be part of it.
Well, that's the contract. That's the broken contract. And you know, if you're very close friends with someone, but you don't like their partner, or their partner is really irritating, that's an unloved one in your life, as far as I'm concerned. Or if you've got Uncle Charlie, and who always makes rude comments at family gatherings or disparaging comments, and yet he's part of the circle of your energy, of the family. How do you cope with that? What do you do with that? How do you manage it so that your needs, wants, and gives are in balance, but you also don't disturb the equilibrium of the family, which is another balance that needs to be held very gently and with respect. And you maintain boundaries. So once you understand your values and you're living them, it all falls into place. Because you don't betray yourself. You have choice with everything you do and say. And even if someone gets under your skin, you have choice in how you respond. And it's important to respond according to your values and your needs. That doesn't make you selfish or self-centered. It makes you aware and cognizant of the relationship energy between the two of you. And kindness, understanding, listening, all of those things work and smooth 90% of what's going on. So really, you have to be very aware of choices. It's all about choice, how you manage the people in your life that are drama queens or nasty, just straight nasty people, because whatever reason they've grown up that way, everything is a bad joke or it's sarcastic or it's bigotry or whatever. How you handle that makes it the relationship what it is. It's not what they do, it's what you do.
I love that, because that's empowering. It really places, you know, so that we're not feeling victims at the family dinner. You know,
right.
Especially these days when there's so much polarization. You know, you're from Canada, but for those of us here in the United States, there's a lot of polarization. There are a lot of people in different camps, and there seems to be no common ground. But the spirits say there is common ground if we approach with love and kindness. I remember I was teaching a workshop, a development workshop, and I was talking about how to use the Buddha metaphrases. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be healthy in body and mind. May I be safe from inner and outer danger. May I be happy and free. And then extending that to other people I love, and then extending it to the unloved ones, or, you know, the unlovable ones in our lives. And what's wonderful about the metaphrases is there's no add-on. May my ex-husband be filled with loving kindness, especially toward me, because I really didn't like the way the divorce is going. You know, there's no add-ons to the metaphrases. And so there was a woman in the group going through a divorce at the time she was in the group, and her unloved one was her soon-to-be ex. And she said this with him in mind. And he called during the lunch break to report how the kids were doing and said, I don't know what it is you're doing at that thing you're at today. What is it? What is it? He knew there was a change. He felt it. And they were able to speak and set out the kids' care. So this is the thing. When you change your mind, when you are standing in your own power, when you are able then to act from love and kindness and generosity rather than react to whatever is being thrown to you, it shifts the energy of everybody around you. And, you know, I have seen this in grocery stores. We are seeing this all over the place. We can have a huge impact. And that, I think, is the exciting... If that's the excitement around your work, Georgina, is because... When you work with one person, when one person reads your book and does the work, it affects everybody in their circle. So it's not just me, you, and the relationship. It's me, you, and all the other relationships, and then their relationships, and their relationships. And that is where the power is. It affects the whole network. And so in my work as a medium, when we have a healing that takes place between someone and a spirit, all of a sudden the whole network is being healed. So thank you for your work here. We're going to be back after a short break. And please, everyone, stay with us. I'm loving my time with Georgina.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Hollister Rand, and it's Speaking to Spirits here today. I'm with Georgina Cannon, the writer of the Third Circle Protocol. We're talking about all things relationship, starting with yourself and fanning outward. And during the break, you know, I sometimes wish we didn't take any breaks so you guys could hear what we talk about in the in-between times, because a lot of the wonderful stuff is there. And Georgina and I were talking about how it isn't just the third circle. You know, there are all of these circles that it's you and me and this relationship, that relationship, and then it creates this entire network of healing and change, much as what I see with my work. So, Georgina, could you talk about that a little bit, this network of change, And then maybe also tell people how they can enact this by using your book, maybe even, you know, in workshop groups, and what services you offer as well.
Sure. Last week I worked in the clinic with a mother and daughter. This works brilliantly with teenagers and parents because it empowers the teen to write their contract, and they agree to that contract with their parents, and it totally changed their lives, the mother and daughter. And not only did it change their lives, but the teenage girl now has a basis from which to form all of her future relationships. And she has a protocol. Obviously, she'll change. I mean, she's now 17. When she's 27, she'll be a different person. But she'll understand who she is. She'll understand her values and priorities. And she will evaluate all future people that come into her life, whether they be lovers or friends or employers. And she'll have a ground, a base on which to evaluate her relationship. She won't wander from one to another. And I think that's the gift. Women's groups are also using it, different women's groups, for self-esteem issues. As you know, self-esteem with women is quite often quite low. As we grow up as little girls, we're expected to be nice, never mind what else is going on. And it takes a while to learn that we have a right to sometimes not be so nice and stand up for what we believe in. So it works very well for groups as well, this book. But it makes radical change, because when we change, as Hollister was saying, everybody around us changes. And sometimes the people closest to us don't like it when we change, because they like us the way we were, whether it's losing weight or whether it's being less inhabiting our own skin. Whatever it is, they like us the way we were because it's familiar. So when we change, it can be disruptive a bit. But then they settle in, and if we have boundaries and we know how to keep good relationships open and loving and accepting, first for ourselves and for other people, life happens in a way that is so connected to everything else going on. You suddenly notice the joy in birdsong. You suddenly notice the colors of leaves. You suddenly notice life around you. You're not so caught up with forcing yourself to live every day. You celebrate yourself every day, and that's a gift. I tell you, it's the most extraordinary thing. Once you know who you truly are, it's the greatest gift you can give yourself the rest of your life.
Well, it sounds like freedom to me, Georgina.
It's freedom with nothing to lose. Freedom. Freedom with a choice. And
that is really, that's really empowering, especially when we're talking about young women and teenagers.
Yes. This young girl wanted to take a year off before going to university after leaving high school, and her mother was against it. She didn't want to waste a year. So the two of them worked this process, and they came to a contract where she could take a year off as long as she made it useful. So she did some volunteer work. She worked part-time, earning some money for her travels later. And she spent a month in, I think it was Tanganyika, somewhere in Africa. And she spent a month there. And she used the year. So she got a year off. But the contract they had between the two of them made it work for both of them. And they were both happy with it.
And you know what's wonderful about a contract is you can end it. You can amend it. It's not in stone, but it seems as if we live unconsciously and patterns keep showing up again and again, that feels much more like it's in stone. It's karma. I can't do anything about it. Whereas if we look at this, you know, as though everything we do is contract-based, and this is kind of how I look at my life, and I've recognized this with spirits as they've spoken with me about this, that we can change these things, but we have to acknowledge them first. Because even if it's an unspoken thing in a, you know, even if it's unspoken, it's still a contract. You know, we're all living under contracts, whether we acknowledge them or not. And so it might be high time to acknowledge them. So what are your offerings currently as far as how people can access your work? And, you know, at different levels, or, you know, are you teaching workshops as well?
Yes. I teach hypnosis and NLP at the University of Toronto. I see people on Zoom in my clinic from around the world, where we work with Third Circle Protocol, couples counseling, hypnosis, past life regression, life between life sessions. I teach past life regression and life between life sessions, facilitation, separately from the university. And what else do I do? I write books. Yeah.
That isn't enough. You know, yes, but what I like is you have a lot of ways that people access your knowledge. You give it freely, and I think that is really kind of exciting. You know, the book, The Third Circle Protocol, is so well laid out, and, I mean, you can work your way through the book. I would recommend doing it with a group. I think that could be extremely helpful to sort of keep everybody on track.
Right.
But you have a website. It's Georgina Cannon, G-E-O-R-G-I-N-A, Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N.com. You're also on Twitter. You're on LinkedIn. And, of course, you're on Facebook. Why not?
That's right.
You have a podcast as well. Is that the case?
Some of the material that was, where do we put it? It's podcast and it's
on Podmatic, Georgina.
A lot of the YouTube videos are also on Podmatic, so we put them in both places.
Wonderful. Some people really like to watch YouTube.
Mm-hmm. I do a lot of coaching, my corporate background really helps with that. So I have a lot of very senior men and women come in for corporate coaching. Because as you know, when you really get to the top of the corporate world, you don't have many people to talk to. You can't certainly talk to your vice presidents. So they need someone to talk to who understands. So I also work with a lot of very senior corporate people in with coaching and counseling. It's a phenomenal.
Yes, because
I'm humbled with this work. It's an extraordinary work, and I'm so grateful for it, to be honest.
Well, I love that you're in the midst of doing, because right now things are very fraught, corporate-wise and every other way, work-wise.
Yes.
And so, Georgina, I can't thank you enough for being here today, and I don't want us to be strangers because.
Oh.
I feel a synergy here. I really have enjoyed my time with you.
Yes, indeed. As I said earlier in the break, I wish you lived next door.
Well, you know what? In these days of Zoom, et cetera, we all live next door. So
that's
I want to
true.
Thank everyone listening for joining me today for Speaking to Spirits. And this doesn't have to be the end of the conversation with me either. I am a working and accessible medium. You can visit my website, hollisterrand.com, for more information about my work, upcoming online events, private sessions, and videos and books about spirit communication in the afterlife. And remember, your loved ones in spirit are with you. Recognize that grief's solution is in connection, and that the spirits join us on the journey toward healing of all kinds. Until next time, this is your friend, who also happens to be a medium, Hollister Rand.
Thanks for listening to HRNRadio.com.